Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we talk sports every week. And we're going to give you just a little bit different of a perspective on sports than you get in other places. We actually try to mix in some common sense with our sports. You can download the podcast. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can go find it pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted. You can actually go over to our website. You can find it there. You can listen there. It is hosted there. DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com if you'd like to head over there. Plus, every single week we put out an article or two that you might want to check out. Yes, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think you'll like it. Head over there. You'll enjoy it. If you want links, if you want to liven up your Twitter or Facebook feed, feel free to add us at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. And, you know, if you ever want to contact the show, got a question, got a, something that you would like to see us cover, something you would like to see talked about, you want to voice some displeasure, you want to seek some advice, we get all those things here. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. As I've told you in the past, it's not just me doing the podcast. I have a number of contributors that I kind of lean on for some help, kind of lean on for some insight. I couldn't possibly come up with all this nonsense by myself. There's no way I would be able to do that. There are certain people in the world upon whom I lean on for those types of insights. And today on the Daily Dose, I am going to be joined by one of those people. Larry and Centennial is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. Larry was at the Broncos Patriots game on Sunday night. I want to talk a little bit of NFL. Plus, we need to look at the college football conference championships are coming up this weekend. And I'm going to tell you what I'm hoping to see happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you what I'm hoping to see happen as we head toward the final college football playoff poll on Sunday. Should be an interesting week this weekend. Plus, as usual, you know we're going to have our Daily Dose Top 5. You don't want to go anywhere for that. That's always a very popular segment on the podcast. A few things coming out in the world of breaking news that I want to hit on before we are joined by Larry and talk some sports with him. But there are a few stories coming out that I just wanted to throw out there. Pitcher David Price has reached an agreement on a 7-year $217 million deal with the Boston Red Sox. I told you probably a month ago, 2 months ago, that I bet he ends up with the Red Sox. Yep, looks like that happened. $31 million average annually? That is a ton of money. He better pay off. He better pay off is all I can say, because they probably overpaid quite a bit on David Price. And I understand his value. He's very, very good. We saw this year. I mean, he went over to Toronto. He changed that bullpen a little bit, or changed that starting lineup a little bit. He gave them some strength going into the postseason. Man, that's a lot of money. I somebody was going to pay it. You figured it probably would be Boston, because they're not afraid to pony up money even when it's dumb money. But man, they really, really overpaid for Price. $31 million average, $217 million. Man, he better be great. The Georgia Bulldogs announced that they will be hiring Alabama defensive coordinator Kirby Smart to be their new head coach last week, and it was something we had talked about on the Daily Dose a few times. Thought Mark Richt kind of seemed untouchable. He'd been down in Georgia for 15 seasons. Always kind of just seemed like they fall short, whatever that might be. They fall short of getting in the championship. They fall short of winning the big game, and they continually fall short beating just their rival Florida. They now bring Kirby Smart over. You know, the thing about this, and we've talked about this a little bit on the show, Kirby Smart switches from defensive coordinator now to head coach. He's been even like an associate type head coach situation. It's different. We don't know who Kirby Smart is as a head coach. We have an idea. He's been under Nick Saban. So we have an idea, you know, that he worships the devil. But we don't know exactly what he's going to do until he gets in those situations. We're not going to know until we see him in those live game situations. It's 4th and 2, and you really, really need to score here. Are you going to go for it? Are you going to punt? We don't know what he's going to do. Nobody does. We don't know what he's going to do just as the guy. We don't know how his recruiting classes are going to look. Going to be interesting to keep an eye on Georgia this next year as they take Kirby Smart away from Alabama. And how much does that hurt Alabama? I mean, he's pretty good on the defensive coordinator side. How much is that going to hurt him or hurt them? We've seen what their defense has done this season. They've progressed, just gotten better and better and better and better. Going to be interesting to keep an eye on the SEC over there. Speaking of college football, last night, the top five teams in the college football playoff rankings came out. They were the same as a week ago. Nothing really changed too much. We have Clemson at one, Bama at two, Oklahoma at three, and Iowa at four. The interesting part about this is now you have Michigan State at five, and you have Ohio State lurking back there at six. I know. Ohio State's not even in the championship. They're not even going to play in the Big Ten. There's no way Ohio State could get in again, right? Right? Because they're not even playing in the championship game. We're going to talk a little bit more college football here in just a few minutes. But keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Last night, the Philadelphia 76ers had lost 28 games straight. They had started this season 0-18. They finally got a win. They finally got a win at home, in their hometown. And who did they beat? The Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, during his final game of his career in his hometown. He is a Philly guy. That's where he was born and raised. Well, I don't know if he's born there. He's raised there. He's a Philadelphia kid. In his hometown. Oh, the Lakers. Oh, goodness, Kobe Bryant. And to be fair, Kobe went out and hit a few shots. He scored 20, which for him this year, that's pretty good. He even had the Philly crowd chanting MVP as he, you know, knocked down a three at the very, very beginning of the game. And then that was kind of it. But, man, what have the Lakers become? What has become of Kobe Bryant? It is just so different from what we are used to. Changed drastically. We're going to talk a little bit more about Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe announced this past week that he was going to be done playing. This is his final season. Now he's going to call it quits. You know who was more happier than anyone else when he announced that? Aside from his Achilles and his shoulder. Lakers management. Because you know they didn't want to have to push him out. You know they didn't want to have that confrontation. They didn't want to have to push Kobe out. They were thrilled when he announced, you know, I'm done. I did think it was interesting, though, that Kobe dropped the, I've realized that I don't want to play anymore. It's not that you don't want to play anymore. I think you've realized you can't play anymore. There is a big difference. Going to talk a little bit more about Kobe here in a few minutes. And finally, Cleveland Browns, who are an absolute dumpster fire. Browns quarterback Josh McCown is going to miss the rest of the season. He fractured his collarbone in that horrible loss to Baltimore on Monday night. And Coach Mike Pettine, he won't announce who his quarterback is. Like, the obvious answer was Johnny Manziel. I mean, you don't have a choice. I mean, you don't really have. You got Austin Davis on the roster, but you're not really going to start Austin Davis, are you? Maybe. Because they don't really feel like they want to start Jonathan Football anymore. It looks like Jonathan's days might be numbered because he can't stop doing stupid things. And so now Mike Pettine says he's not going to discuss whether or not he'll start Austin Davis or Johnny Manziel. Refused to comment on it. Don't want to head down that slope. And the Browns signed wide receiver Terrell Pryor on Wednesday or on Tuesday. That makes me wonder, maybe they're just going to start Terrell Pryor. I mean, he's used to playing on horrible teams. Remember those seasons he had with the Raiders? That might just be a perfect fit for Terrell Pryor. Maybe they found their guy. Keep an eye on that. Going to be interesting. Hey, did you go do... I have to ask my audience this. And feel free to email. Feel free to let me know. Text me. I don't care. Whatever. Did you go do the Black Friday shopping thing? Be honest. Did you do it? We talked about it just a little bit last week. Did you go do the Black Friday? I'm watching some of the videos that were online of these people that have lost their ever-loving minds, like barging into a Walmart or whatever it is and trying to get, the greatest discounts at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to dwell on this. But I have to say this. Keep one thing in mind. If you're going to go out on Black Friday, here's the thing I want you to keep in mind. Keep in mind where you are. Keep in mind, you know, where you physically are. Because if you're thinking about this, you know, there's people standing in line outside of, I don't know, Best Buy or Target or whatever it was. But if you are waiting to burst into Walmart, what sort of deal is it that you're really getting? It's Walmart. Let's say, I know it's not, but let's say Walmart has said everything in the store is free. You can have it if you come wait in line in 0 degree temperatures at 3 o'clock in the morning the night after Thanksgiving. You can have it all. What are you getting? Like $15 worth of stuff? The Black Friday things, I see these people fighting over, like, I don't know, a plastic snow globe worth like 35 cents. That's what you're going to risk your life over? I don't know. It just doesn't seem very smart to me, is what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you, don't do it. Don't fall into the trap. Don't go do that. We've got to jump in here. We head right now to our Daily Dose hotline, where we are joined by Larry from Centennial, longtime friend of the show, and someone who I always love talking sports with. Larry, first off, thank you so much for being on the Daily Dose. I really, really do appreciate it.
Hey, Clint, thanks for having me. It's been a long time listener of the podcast, so just a lot of fun to be here with you.
You know, the great thing about talking sports with Larry is that it's rare that he goes the traditional way of thinking. You know, last week we were actually talking, and we were discussing Broncos-Patriots, and I had said, I don't like the Broncos' odds on Sunday. I feel like their defense at times is showing a little bit of vulnerability. I felt like Osweiler is going to struggle to move them against that defense of New England. You said, nah, Patriots are going to win that thing. I mean, the Broncos are going to win that thing, and you called your shot early. I didn't necessarily believe it. Was there any reason that you were seeing that? What did you see that I didn't see?
Well, I don't know specifically if I can point to any one thing. I think that injuries, with the Patriots have taken a toll. I mean, it's well documented. They're, you know, they were down to Gronk, and with our defense, now they, you know, have had a couple outings where maybe it wasn't performing up to what we considered it to be standard, but you know, still a tough defense, and I think tough defenses, this is kind of what Kubiak and John Elway wanted, a defense that could perform in cold weather conditions, and let's be honest, when you run out of tools that New England has, I think, you know, that theory that defenses win late in the season and in the playoffs, I think held true.
I know it's easy now when we kind of look at this, we look at the Broncos and say, oh, they got the win and they get... you were at the game, before I get to the weather and all that, but you were at the game. Let me ask you this. Was there starting to be some grumbling when that offense was struggling through like 3.5 quarters? Were people starting to complain and gripe about that?
No, really, they weren't. And I think you look back to how New England scored. And this is, we've done this, you know, a number of times this season, especially, you know, when Manning was in there. We've given the opposing offenses a lot of points, and it really kind of felt like we did the same. There was some apprehension, I think, a little bit in terms of we haven't really seen Brock. You know, we don't know that he can recover from that kind of thing.
Right.
But it wasn't like it was 23 or 27 points. It was 14 points at that time, I think. And there was still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, there was. It just seems like this. And I've been, you and I have talked, I've been a proponent of Peyton Manning. It just seems like this offense looks so much different with Brock in there.
Well, you and I have talked about this quite a bit in person. The playbook's open. And I was a little surprised they weren't doing a little more play action.
I was too.
We've seen more of that. But... you know, I guess when you have as many plays to choose from, you know, maybe we won't see it as much as I thought we would. But you can certainly, you know, it's well proven out now that there are more plays being run, a bigger mix of plays, more under center, all the stuff that people have wanted to kind of see from this offense. So, you know, I I think, and as the conditions got a little worse, I actually think that people in the stands were feeling a little better about things, especially with the distance of our kicker, even though he missed the one. But, you know, it wasn't a typical game where New England was just kind of pounding and we couldn't recover. We were in it.
You know, the one thing that kind of stands out to me right now, because I know that Brock is getting a lot of the credit, and I understand it. It's well-deserved because he has kind of changed the way we look. But I think for the first time this season, we're finally seeing a healthy C.J. Anderson. I don't think we've seen that all year.
We haven't. I mean, the rushing touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
when do
we see a rushing touchdown? And I'll just point to the overtime rushing touchdown that won the game. You know, that certainly we would not have seen without Osweiler in that. I don't think, and I don't think it's a fact that they don't trust Osweiler's arm. I don't think that at all. I think it's just there's better balance, and those rushing opportunities are more wide open.
Well, yeah, with him under center, you do get that a little head of steam getting going before you have to make your read with Peyton back in that pistol. You don't get quite as much time to make your read, and you're starting to see some backside, those cutbacks that we used to see in the Terrell Davis and the Mike Anderson and those eras. We're starting to see a little bit of that. We haven't seen that all year because you can't run that stuff without being under center at least some of the time.
That's absolutely correct. And Clint, I talked to a couple friends who are out of state, watch a game on TV. They said Anderson stuck out like a sore thumb, in a good way.
Right.
It looked like he was the only guy that had traction, and that's the kind of runner he is. And that, you know, we've commented on how his balance seems to be a huge advantage for him. But you know, he can oftentimes get the one hand down, save himself, and keep running. Well, he didn't even have to do that in those conditions. He really did have other people off balance. I think just the way, the style of his running, his body makeup, that kind of thing. And so I think I think maybe he has literally kind of turned the corner in this offense. Maybe he's our guy. A lot of football to be played still.
Sure.
And, you know, I love the balance of him and Hillman. I think Hillman,
I do too,
out of the back. I just, you know, we've talked about it. I'm not sure, and everybody has kind of commented about whether Hillman can be the full-time back. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think the Broncos want him to be the full-time back either. So it's great to see CJ out there making plays.
It is, and you know, the injury that he had, and I don't know that, because it wasn't real publicized, he had a bad toe and he had a bad ankle. You're not going to have any kind of explosion, and I think that's been the difference that we've seen lately. He finally has some explosion. You saw on Sunday night, there's a couple times they have him. He's down. He's caught, and he plows through them, breaks a tackle, and gets loose for, you know, two or three more. That's the CJ that we were expecting to see this year. We talked earlier about the conditions down there. You were at the game. How bad was it down there?
You know, it really didn't seem like it was, you know, sitting in the stands. It wasn't a heavy snow or anything, but people were, you know, those players were affected. It wasn't bitter cold, very little wind. I mean, it was like the great football game. Just the snow flying around and
looks beautiful.
And they were still hitting. You know,
sure.
The players were still hitting. So it was fun. Then the fans were into it. A lot of you know, not that many Patriots fans. A few, you know, they come out of the woodwork.
Right.
When they're on top, kind of tend to go away when they're not. But when they're on top, they're there, and there were a few there. And you know, coming, just a quick comment on CJ and his toe. You know, I have a toe problem, and my explosion is, you know, it's not where
it is. It's starting to slag a little bit.
Right, you know, when I was shoveling the other day, I just didn't have the push.
Well, that's what you need. I mean, it's one thing when you can point that toe in a straight arrow and really get explosion off of it. That's when you get your best snow shoveling in.
Well, it's absolutely true. So, you know, I have a little work to do still. I'm waiting for the sun to come out to melt it off a little bit. But
right.
But there comes a time where, you know, I had to kind of take myself out of the game the other day, and And I did that for the betterment of the team.
Well, sometimes that's what team players do. You've got to do what's best for the team, and you've got to. Speaking of that, we're going to have to talk about Peyton Manning in just a minute. Speaking of the Patriots, though, and I'm glad that you brought up Patriot fans, because a fun game to play with Patriot fans is name the quarterback before Tom Brady, because they don't even know they had a franchise, like they just found out. But with all the Patriots out, and I know they had a lot of injuries.
And Clint, you're absolutely right. I know where you're going. It's like it's published in the New York Times, the players that the Patriots are missing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
That's all we heard about. Forget for a minute that we're beating you with our backup quarterback. We don't have our starting left tackle. We don't have DeMarcus Ware. Luis Vasquez, TJ Ward, and Sylvester Williams all leave, but somehow the Patriots are the only one playing injured.
You're right. You're spot on. And, I guess that's okay. You know, there's a lot of things to complain about with the Patriots as far as an opposing fan goes. The fact that we got the win despite, the letters that Tom Brady is probably writing to the officiating crew.
Sure.
You got to give him some credit for that, right?
But I would think so, because he was having a lot of problems with the officials. He was doing a lot of complaining to the officials. I don't know if you could see it down at the field, but there were a number of times that I was going, what is he complaining about?
Well, on one hand, it is exactly that. On the other hand, he's trying everything he can do to get his team to win. He knows he's at a severe disadvantage. Every little bit, I guess it's kind of like that NBA where, when the head coach constantly barks at the ref, sooner or later they get a call. And I don't know. I'm imagining that's what the effort is there.
I thought it was interesting that after the game there was some feeling in the national media, and of course one of the problems with the Patriots, and this isn't their fault, but the city of Boston is home to so many big time sports media people that of course they're going to pile on to anything, and there was a lot of talk the referees won this game whatever. I think you're ignoring a lot of things that both the Patriots and the Broncos did if you simplify it that much.
I think so too. Look, that was a great football game. You'd love to be able to look at it a day later and hear, a lot of it's cliche, but let's be honest, as fans, that's kind of what we would rather hear, is the opposing team say, look, we went into their place, they played a heck of a game, they won. And I don't know that, well, that certainly, we did not hear that. What we heard was the opposite. We heard a lot of, we didn't win because of this, this, and this.
Sure. I thought it was interesting. The Broncos were down by four. There's about 4 minutes left in the game. Brady takes over the ball kind of deep in their own territory. He hits a pass to Gronk and picks up like 12, 14 yards. And then, again, 4 minutes left. You're up by four. They throw two straight incompletions. In fact, one was the one that was the play that Gronk was hurt on. The third down they run, and that's the one play that they were. They throw the ball incomplete twice and stop the clock.
Well, the feeling in the crowd, Clint, was that they kept, they kind of kept us in it. And we've seen that before when you're watching TV, you see some games. Belichick, speculation is he got out-coached. Well, he did. I don't know that they could have run it and got first downs. They sure could have taken time off the clock.
Right.
I think our defense had proven up to that point that they weren't going to run the ball against us. That's not their style of play anyway. It's those, 4 or 5 yard passes. Not sure they have the personnel for those anymore, but the feeling in the crowd was like, we still have a chance here.
Sure.
They're going to go ahead and let us have the ball. And, I think Belichick is thinking, let's see what the backup quarterback can do. There's no way they can beat us.
We'll put the pressure on him.
Yeah, and maybe that was the right thing to do. It backfired. And the point being that, Brady, there's one quarterback out there that Brady's never beat.
Right.
Our Osweiler, baby.
Exactly. I know that Brady and Belichick are the greatest of the greatest of the greatest, but if Andy Dalton goes out there and throws two incomplete passes, we're killing him. If,
killing
if,
him.
If Marvin Lewis puts in, you know, that situation, or he puts that inexperienced punt returner out there and the punt returner fumbles, we look at Marvin Lewis and say, dude, you're an idiot. Why did you put him out there? It's a fine line between you're the greatest ever and you're a stooge.
It's still football, and you have to play it, you know, smart, but you still have to play it. I think one of the things that might be lost, if you've listened to local media here in Denver, is the fact that Osweiler made that change for Anderson to run on that game-winning TD.
Right.
Well, Osweiler made the change, and if you juxtapose that against, you know, a Brady who should know very well that a pass going incomplete saves or yeah. doesn't save 20, 24 seconds.
Sure.
You know, maybe we haven't seen a lot of him yet. We have to see more. But maybe Osweiler has actually the mental tools to compete at that level. That would be the hope.
I sure hope so, too. What in the world is wrong with Demaryius Thomas?
Wait, hold on. I almost dropped the phone. I don't know.
Way to go, Demaryius, on Demaryius.
I don't know. You know, he's had these few games. The easy thing would be to look back at it and say, he got his money, he's paid. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in that locker room that are fighting, by evidence of our record, and then we had a couple losses, and then we ended up looking pretty good here for a few games. But there's a lot of guys trying. So I don't think it's a lack of effort. I honestly don't. I just, you know.
Maybe he just doesn't like snow.
Maybe he doesn't, but boy, that was
rough.
Glaring.
He was targeted 13 times, had the one catch, the one late catch that was big. You know, you talked about earlier, Brock kind of looking like he might have some tools. Right after the game on the field, they interview Brock Osweiler and they say, "Hey, Brock, you just beat the Patriots, blah, 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 blah. They're the Super Bowl champions. They're undefeated," all this stuff. The first thing out of his mouth was, "Well, Emmanuel and DT came up with huge catches down the stretch." I thought that was such a smart statement from such a young quarterback to make sure. I realize he had a horrible night. We all knew DT had a horrible night. He picked him up right away. I don't know. Dude kind of showed some savvy that I didn't know he had.
That's a leader move right there.
It is.
Because I think, you know, there's been plenty in the losses and even in the wins, there's been plenty of mistakes made. You know, everybody's going to make mistakes. And NFL football at this stage will, you know, when you make them, they're glaring, right? They're under the microscope.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, look, Brock, I think, knows it, by evidence of that interview, knows that DT, he's going to need DT on his side.
Yep.
And
DT
he's been through this before, right?
Sure.
He's shown that he can bounce back, and he can be the difference maker in a playoff game. He can take over a playoff game.
Right.
So, now is not the time to pile on, I don't think, and especially as the quarterback who knows that he's going to be leading this team for a number of weeks. He knows he's going to be needing to count on that guy, and that guy's going to need a clear head when the time comes and make those catches.
Sure. So the Broncos now have this predicament, and they don't have to deal with it yet. You've got Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, who has been, let's be honest, largely ineffective, turnover machine. He's out with the hurt foot. You've got Brock Osweiler, who is now 2-0, three touchdowns. He had the one interception, but it was deflected at the line. I don't know that you can really blame that too much on him.
Right.
Right now, Manning's hurt. And so it's not an issue, but at some point, he's going to want to come back.
Yeah, and I don't know. Everybody's speculating, right? That let's say that we've won a playoff game. Well, is he going to, I mean, and then he's deemed to be 100% healthy.
Right.
Does he come back for a second playoff?
Do you then start him?
I don't know that you can. I don't honestly know that you can do that. I just don't know that you can do that.
What if it's not a playoff game? What if it's game 15?
And look, if I'm the coach, unless there's something to influence the decision one way or the other, I stick with what's working. And you know, Brock Osweiler is going to have a bad game.
Sure, yes.
Right?
I mean, that's just the law of averages.
It is, and chances are it's going to be against Cincinnati. I mean, kind of looking ahead, right?
Right.
And that's the last game, and an important game. There will be, it'll be 50-50. There will be people just clamoring to put Peyton Manning back in. And then there will be people that say, hey, look, he's done enough. If Manning was in for those games that Osweiler conceivably has won, we wouldn't be in the position we're in.
The thing I worry about with Peyton, right, the thing I worry about with Peyton is, so we've already heard the rib injury and the shoulder injury and the the foot injury, and then we still have the neck. At some point, our pets' heads are falling off. I don't know what's coming next. Like, I don't know. Is there? He's broken down. I love the guy, but he's broken down. I worry. What's next?
He really has, and you know, I don't know if he ever gets 100% healthy.
That's where I'm at.
You know, if you talk to anybody else who's playing, you know, every Sunday, they say they don't get healthy until, you know, mid-off season.
Exactly.
When they're starting to feel good.
And that's when you're not 40.
That's when you're not 40. That's in, you know, warm conditions. That's with a lot of people helping you get treatment and things like that. Manning has had, you know, he's just played a lot of football. And, you know, God bless him. He's done very, very well.
Sure.
Over, you know, a very long career. This is the way it ends up for some guys.
Yeah, Broncos are currently 9-2. If the playoffs were to end today, they'd be the number 3 seed. But, you know, their schedule going down the stretch, I'm gonna have you pick a couple games. Let's see where the Broncos finish, because Larry's great at picking games. I throw out games to him all the time. He picks them, and he usually picks them right. You win a lot of pools and stuff. Like, you win March Madness pools, and I don't know. You have a lot of voodoo around you or something.
It's all skill.
Is that what it is?
I peruse the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News.
Right.
Is there still a Rocky Mountain News?
No, but that's all right.
That may have just given me away.
That's your secret. You still peruse the Rocky Mountain News, which hasn't been around in about 15 years.
It's the same Rocky Mountain News that I use.
That's perfect. You put your Swami hat on.
Okay.
Put the Swami hat on, and let's look at these last remaining games. Broncos are 9-2. They go to the Chargers this week.
I think the Chargers are done. I think they. I think Phillip Rivers is still playing, but I don't know that he understands that no one else is.
Right,
Broncos.
Okay, Broncos. Let's go 10-2. They are home against the Raiders.
That's a tougher one. The Raiders have played tough in Denver in the past.
Yeah, they have.
And you know, this brings up a bigger point, which is, you know, looking over the next couple of years, I'm not as scared of KC as I am of the Raiders.
Exactly. No, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, if he can figure out how to catch the ball, he's pretty dangerous.
Absolutely. I still think we win the game. You know, maybe it's a really close game. I'm not going to put it into overtime, but I'm looking at maybe even a 1-point, 2-point win.
Okay, so we're going to go 11-2. Then they go to Pittsburgh.
I call that, I think we lose that game.
Okay.
I think Pittsburgh wins that game.
Now we don't know what the status is of Big Ben. He's a big dumb animal, so he'll probably be back at that point. And if that's the case, yeah, you're right. It's probably a loss.
I think Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, they've been able to kind of rally the troops.
Yeah, they're scary.
I never have thought they'd be in the position they're in right now for playoff contention.
Sure.
I just honestly wouldn't have, you know, based on the Bell suspension, and then the Bell injury, and then the Roethlisberger injury. So they've done well. They've got a good scheme going. They've got players to play tough. So
if they had anybody on defense that could actually make a tackle, they would be one of the best teams in the league.
They certainly would be right up there with Cincinnati, and my guess is that they would be they'd probably win that division. I agree.
So then the Broncos come home. I believe it's a Monday night game against the Bengals in prime time. How did they fare against the Bengals at home?
That's a win. I think that's a win.
Okay.
I think I think people are going to look at that as kind of the litmus test for Osweiler.
Sure.
And again, I think it's a game that we take advantage of the home field crowd. I think it's a good crowd. People will be just pumped up for that. And I think a running game, it ends up winning it, much like we had the other day. I think we start to see that offense, you know, in large way take form as we know the coaching. coaching staff and John Elway kind of structured the offense to be.
I'm gonna pick Osweiler just because he has brown hair. How about that? And Dalton does not.
That's what it says right here in the Rocky Mountain News too.
See, so you have the same copy I do. Let's go. Season finale, home against the Chargers. By then, Philip Rivers will have two more children. Can the Chargers come in here that last week and beat the Broncos?
No, they can't. They can't beat anybody.
Okay, so then we're looking at a 13-3 season for the Broncos to finish up with. That's got to get you probably one of the top two seeds, doesn't it?
So what's different is the confidence level that we have going into and finishing the season 13-3 with a team that has at this stage now been built to do what it takes to win the game,
right?
As opposed to throwing 50 times a game. I think it does get the second seed, largely because we beat Cincinnati.
Because you beat Cincy, yeah.
And then we take it from there. But absolutely, I think second seed is there. I think a lot of things have to, you know, continue to go right. And, you know, Clint, the thing that we might be battling the most through the rest of the season is the speculation about when Peyton Manning comes back, if he's healthy.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be on the agenda every single week.
Could be a huge distraction.
Might be. You know? Might be, unless someone steps in and heads that off. Unless you have an Elway or a Peyton or somebody step in and say, hey, you know what, we're not going to battle this year. We're going to shut him down for the season or whatever it might be. Then you eliminate that distraction. But otherwise, yeah, that's going to be every single week. Well, is he better this week? Is he better this week?
I totally agree with you. And you know, what Manning has done for the game of football, you know, he gets a benefit of the doubt.
Sure he does.
I think we've done that. I think the Broncos have given him the benefit of the doubt. I think that's what happened, and it didn't work out. So I think at this stage, you know, he kind of gets treated like other players who are injured, and how or when they're ready to go, if they get to step in for the player who's playing. And if that player's playing well, I don't think he gets to step in. If that player is not playing well, then I think the coaches consider a change.
Right. Let's look around the league real quick and just look at some of the upcoming games this week. We have a couple that are interesting. I know there's a bunch of bad teams in the NFL, but a couple games that are at least halfway interesting. I'm going to put this on there. I probably shouldn't. The battle for New York, Jets at Giants. Who is your pick, Jets at Giants this week? Jets are 6-5. Giants are 5-6 and need a win to stay atop the NFC East.
I knew you were going to ask me about this one. Can I say I don't really care?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I hope that you did. That's a perfect answer. That's exactly where I was hoping you were going to go with that. Because they're both horrible teams. They both have terrible quarterbacks. And I don't know that either one of them is going to get in the playoffs. Maybe the Giants, just because everyone else is horrible.
And you know, they'll get their coverage, their East Coast coverage.
Yes.
They play in the same stadium. Can we just kind of keep them there for a while and then and let the good teams... You know,
let's keep them there for a while, but not let anyone watch it and don't show it on TV. Seahawks at Vikings.
Back to that. What would happen if they just played the game and locked the doors? Would anyone really care?
If a New York team gets beat and no one is there to notice, does anyone care?
No.
No. They absolutely don't care. It's the same thing. It would be better if Rex Ryan coached one of the teams, but as it is now, no one cares.
Well, that would give it some spice.
Sure. Okay, Seahawks at Vikings.
I think the best thing to happen to the Seahawks, if people might hate this, is that Jimmy Graham went down.
Well, sure. They don't know how to use him anyway.
Net, it's a loss because now they don't have their really good offensive lineman. But now they don't have to try and force something to a pass-catching tight end that their team isn't built for.
They can't stand throwing it to him anyway.
And I take Vikings on this. I think, I don't know, you know, that you can only pay so many people. I think we're kind of seeing that in Seattle.
Yeah.
Wilson just had a spectacular day last week. I guess if it's spectacular, he threw for a bunch of touchdowns because he had to.
Sure.
My knock on Wilson has always been that he can't throw from the pocket. Well, you know, blind squirrel, right?
Well, yeah.
But I'll take the Vikings.
Also, he can't ride on a lot of roller coasters because he doesn't hit the height requirement. Let's go Texans at Bills. Texans are kind of getting hot, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but Texans defense is playing really good, and it seems like they found a quarterback with Hoyer.
I thought for sure you would lean toward the Bills, but I think you're leaning towards Houston, and I am too. I think their defense plays well, and the games that I've watched, Tyrod Taylor, he'll make some good plays, but he'll make some bad plays too, and I don't know that he can be trusted just yet. I'm taking Houston.
Well, and the defense that we thought was going to be so dominating hasn't quite lived up to the hype for the Bills. I'm really surprised at that, but they just haven't lived up to it. They've allowed too many yards. They've allowed too many scoring opportunities for the other team. Like last week, they're playing Kansas City, and I'm sitting there going, okay, there's going to be a defensive struggle. This is going to be field position. It was a shootout. What the heck is wrong with Rex Ryan and his defense? I don't know.
I totally agree. Reading their own press clippings, I guess. I don't know if Houston has the same kind of offensive firepower that KC has, but I think they have a better defense.
Yeah, I do too. There aren't any more good NFL games this week to talk about, so I'm not gonna force it. I don't feel like forcing it because there's nothing else to talk about. The rest of them are terrible. Pick whatever you want.
Yeah, no reason to pick games that don't matter.
Right. I don't want to talk about the Jaguars and the Titans or the Ravens and the Dolphins. No one cares about that garbage.
Now that we're on it, it really has seemed to be a very mediocre year in terms of level of play.
There's like three or four good teams, and the rest of them are horrible.
They really are. And I don't know if the whole collective bargaining, can't practice, so much is going to eventually catch up. I think we saw it for sure with the offensive lines and a number of what were considered to be really good teams.
Yeah.
Just not perform. But, I think, the Broncos are on the front edge of that, the whole performance and being one of the better teams. So,
well, they are. You've got, like, Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Panthers, and then after that it's a bunch of who knows what.
Right. So I guess we sit back and consider ourselves lucky that we have administration and a coaching staff that's maybe better than the rest.
No, it is.
And we continue to take advantage of that through the next few years because that collective bargaining agreement isn't going to change, I don't think, in terms of practice time. The scary part of injuries and head injuries in particular are going to keep that in there. You just have to really take advantage and have, smarter people running the organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift over to college football because with college football, there's still parity, but because we know that some programs cheat more, there's less parity. So let's move over to there. We have conference championships coming up, and this weekend, the final poll before the announcement, before the big announcement, came out last night. Clemson was number one, Alabama two, Oklahoma three, Iowa comes in at four, Michigan State and Ohio State at five and six. Ohio State's just kind of lurking there, but there's some interesting games this weekend, and I want to talk a little about what I'm hoping to see happen. SEC Championship, Alabama number two versus number 18 Florida. Bama is absolutely rolling. Florida, their offense. I watched that game against Florida State on Saturday night.
Yeah,
that was the most painful thing.
That was pretty tough, and I know you're a Florida fan.
Well, The thing about Florida, watching that offense, because they keep trying the same thing again and again, but it feels like you're playing Battleship with someone who has short-term memory loss. And so they just keep saying B6, even though they just guessed B6, and we know B6 isn't going to win it, but they're going to guess it again.
Like, hey, buddy, put your little marker in the peg, please.
So, right, right. Can you mark it off? Because you clearly can't remember that doesn't work.
Right, yeah. All you hope for is that, maybe Alabama is a little too full of itself, although I think they're a little protected this year because they have faced, I guess what people would call some adversity.
Yeah.
If Florida beats Alabama, it will be one of the greatest upsets in a number of years, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think you should put something on it. If Florida beats Alabama, you'll eat something or you'll do something. What will that be?
I'll wrestle an alligator.
Okay, we'll bring in an alligator for you to wrestle.
I know how to do it. It's say, I can give you a tip in case you're in this situation.
Well, I've never had to do that before. What do I do?
No, alligators have a very small brain. All you have to do, Clint, is flip them over,
yeah,
and they'll fall asleep.
Is that the deal?
There you go.
Like a rub their belly kind of thing?
Little tip for you.
Man, I had no idea. Got to keep that one in mind. We have the AAC has their championship game. No one cares. But I'm telling you, if you happen to find Temple versus Houston, it'll be entertaining. It has no impact whatsoever, and we don't need to talk about it. It'll be a good game, though. If you just happen to see it on Saturday, leave it. You'll be entertained. Pac-12 championship. Number 20 USC versus number 7 Stanford. Stanford is hoping for a little bit of help. And maybe somehow if they won this game, they could sneak in if a couple people ahead of them, were to fall off.
Right.
And then we go to Big Ten championship. This is now a playoff game. Number 5 Michigan State versus number 4 Iowa. Iowa is 12-0. Granted, they haven't really beaten anybody. They beat 3 loss Wisconsin and 2 loss Northwestern, but
right. Still,
whoever wins this game is going.
Well, this is the game. Game of the day, right? Yeah.
Like you
said, it's whoever wins goes. Iowa has put themselves, you know, in a position to be there. They won all the games that they've had on the schedule.
Sure, that's all you can do.
Winning, if they beat State, then I think that you could call them legitimate contenders for sure. Even though, you know, maybe they've only had one or two games that of the level that other teams. But boy, what. Have we seen? When was the last time we've seen Iowa in this position?
No, probably never.
I can't
Hayden
even tell
Hayden
you.
Fry was still there.
Yeah.
ACC championship number 1 Clemson against number 10 North Carolina. This is the game where I think an upset actually can happen. I don't have a ton of faith in Carolina. I don't have a ton of faith in Clemson though. They should have lost to Louisville. Now, let's just say, just for giggles, North Carolina beats Clemson. Now that poll committee is in kind of a tight spot, because what do you do?
I think they fly off to some secluded island. You know,
sure.
I'm not sure. I think, you know, you know me. I don't delve into the minutiae of college football.
Right.
I don't know that much about it, but I find it hard to believe that if I asked, you know, what exactly is the criteria for giving me those 4 teams, that anybody on the committee could agree. Now I'm just kind of
No, but it's totally true. They would say, well, we kind of sometimes it just comes to the eye test. Well, what about on this one? Well, yeah, that one we didn't use the eye test. Wait a second.
Exactly. They pick a team that has a reputation rather than actual, you know, results. And I guess in a lot of ways, you know, maybe that makes sense sometimes. But boy, it sure seems like they're going to have a doozy of a chore to try and figure out if something like that doesn't happen. Let's be honest. They're hoping that the favorites win. So
sure they are.
The job is very easy.
I want Florida to win. I want North Carolina to win, and I want Southern Cal to win, because then you're going to probably have to stick in I don't know, Notre Dame or who killed Texas. They're going to stick in Oklahoma, who got beat by Texas. I just want chaos. That's my bottom line.
Complete chaos.
Complete chaos.
Maybe you hope that through the chaos, you know, there's a huge outcry that actually puts in place some sort of structure that everybody can look at and see what's going on. My biggest complaint about, you know, the committee and the whole selection process in general is the polls. You know, the using of the polls and
they're completely worthless. Sure,
that in itself is you know somewhat subjective, right?
Completely.
You know, you're basically saying, well, the rankings and the polls are a piece of how we select the teams. When you got people voting on those polls too, and they have biases, and you know.
Well, and you have people voting on the polls based on what happened a year ago. I don't know how that has any input into what's happening right now on the field.
Reputation is huge. Reputation is huge, and it gets in the way of actually, you know, pinpointing better teams. Absolutely.
If it comes down to North Carolina or Notre Dame, I guess who they're putting in. It's not even close. Notre Dame is getting that bid because of their name.
And that's terrible to say, but it's the truth.
That's the only reason Ohio State got in last year over Baylor or TCU, because they had the name. Granted, it all worked out for them, but that's why they got in.
I would totally agree with that. I would totally agree with that.
Hey, when are we going to go see Creed? Are we gonna go see Creed and like do a movie review on the podcast and like?
I would love to do that. I've watched, you know, I've seen some previews.
You like the Rocky movies though?
Rocky movies, you know, I'm going through that with my kids now.
Right.
They're put, you know, as far as movies go, they're on the more wholesome than less wholesome list.
Right.
I can watch them with my kids. It's got a lot. Some old school boxing and, you know, who can beat Burgess Meredith? Nobody. I mean,
oh, he's great.
He's a legend. He's a legend, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to see how they're going to kind of fit Adrian into the mix. You know, where'd she go? What's she doing?
Maybe Creed is her. Maybe Creed is her baby. I don't know. Well, I don't know how they spun that.
Speculation is that, you know, he's Apollo's kid.
Is that what it? Maybe that's going to be awkward.
I think you might be onto something there.
Yo, Adrian, he's got Apollo's eyes.
Oh boy, you know, Sly in a wheelchair.
Yes.
I don't know. Can it be?
You know what was funny the other day? I was at the store and I'm standing in line and I hear, this is just random, I hear some lady in the next aisle and she's telling her friend, "Yeah, me and my husband are going to see Creed tonight." And like for a second, I thought, the band? Can you take me higher? That's what I was like, they're going to see Creed. Is that still a thing? I thought that was like 97.
You know, all the old bands are making comeback tours. So,
well, wouldn't surprise these guys me. Should jump right on that right now.
You know what we should do is we should find out where Creed is playing, the band.
Sure.
And do kind of a double header. Go to the movie.
Oh, movie and then horrible music.
Right. And when people ask me, have you seen Creed?
We saw Creed twice in one night.
We say, yes, we have.
Perfect. Perfect. We might have to do a couple movie reviews because we know we've got that Concussion movie coming out.
Yeah.
We've got Creed coming out. We might have to do like a week of movie reviews and knock some of those out because
you know, all you have to do is ask, Clint. I'll be glad to do that. I love movies. I love critiquing movies.
Perfect.
Just watched Elf again, you know, just the other night.
Which you have to watch at least 50 times.
You do. It's, you know, it's one of those movies where if you watch it, there's always something that you missed the first time.
How many, are you already getting Christmas music going in your house?
Christmas music is going. Watched It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, wow.
It's the first time they've ever seen that.
What's your go-to Christmas movie? Is it Wonderful Life?
Go-to Christmas movie is Polar Express.
Okay.
Yeah, and the slow-mo action on the train when it's on the ice.
Sure.
I mean, we kind of have to pause, get the popcorn ready for that.
Right.
Get all ready to go. Nobody can take a break, and yeah. So
I'm gonna throw out a go-to Christmas movie for you, and obviously, you know, the Christmas vacations. And if you haven't seen The Ref, and you're not gonna watch it with your kids. In fact, I would encourage you not to watch it with your kids. There's a Christmas classic for you, The Ref with Dennis Leary.
An adult-rated Christmas movie.
Yes.
Okay. Dennis Leary, yeah, and I have not seen that.
You're going to enjoy that. Make sure you find that on Netflix or wherever that's at, but you're going to enjoy the heck out of that. That's going to become a staple of your Christmas traditions.
Excellent. Like I said, love the movies. Love to hear about good ones.
Okay, well, we're gonna go see Rocky, and we're gonna maybe do the Concussion movie and do like a two for one after the holidays, and we're gonna give some reviews to our listeners because you know, just try to help people out. That's what we're in the business of. We're in the business of helping people.
If there's one thing I know about you, it's that you're always there.
A giver is what you might say.
You are a giver, and there's you and Christmas. And giving,
right?
It's synonymous. So
very true, very true. Hey, I have to thank you so much for coming in today, joining us on the podcast. You are welcome anytime. But thank you so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Let me keep it going. Good stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that so much.
All right.
Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, it was announced this week, Kobe Bryant is playing in his final season. He's going to retire after the year. Kobe is a different guy. He's a different guy. He's not that warm and cuddly guy. You know, we came through that era where you had the Magic, you had the Michael, you had those kind of players. Kobe's not that kind of guy. He's not endearing. And his career has been a lesson in kind of in contradictions. Because when you think about Kobe Bryant, and he is one of the great players ever, he is one of the great scorers ever. But it's kind of interesting because every side of Kobe Bryant that you see, there's kind of another side to it. I mean, think about it just for a second. He's one of the greatest scorers ever. When he was in his prime, I know it's easy to pile on him now that he can't find the rim, but when he was in his prime, you wanted him taking the big shot. And it didn't matter who it was against, it didn't matter how much time was on the clock, you wanted Kobe taking that shot. But if you were drafting an all-time team, you might not want him on your team. He's one of the greatest Lakers to ever play. He might be, maybe, not in my opinion, but he might be the greatest Laker to ever play. But he was never loved like Magic. Never. I don't know if he was loved as much as Kareem. And Kareem was a rough guy to get to like. He's compared to Michael Jordan. But and as great of a scorer as he was, and as many, he had the championships, and he had, with Michael, you had some of those iconic moments. You think of some of the iconic moments in Jordan's life, whether it was the slam dunk contest from the free throw line, or whether it was the shot against Elo, or whether it was the shot against the Jazz, coming back, getting the steal, hitting the shot against the Jazz to win the whole championship, standing on the table, the six up. Kobe doesn't have those moments. Name the iconic moment that Kobe has. It just didn't work that way. I don't know why. I don't know why it didn't come out that way for Kobe. It just didn't. And that's not a slight on him. I'm actually not bagging on Kobe Bryant. He's just a guy that has a lot of contradictions. Right now, we are going to give you our Daily Dose top five defining Kobe Bryant moments. Notice I didn't say greatest Kobe Bryant moments. He had a number of great moments. But he had defining moments. And like Kobe, there are a lot of contradictions in each one of these moments. Number five, top five defining Kobe Bryant moments. You can't bring up the career. And I know Laker fans, I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. I know I'm not supposed to bring this up. But you can't bring up Kobe Bryant's career without mentioning the sexual assault case that took place in Colorado in 2003. He was arrested in connection with a sexual assault that took place in a hotel where he was doing some rehab. Say whatever you want about it. It tarnished his reputation. His reputation took a shot. His career, in some ways, took a shot from that. But you know one of the things that stands out to me about that? And the court case was dismissed, but the civil case was settled out of court, and he did pay a substantial amount of money. I'm not going to sit here and try to go guilty or innocent. Not my point here. But what I do want to think about through all of that, and again, contradictions with Kobe Bryant, was remember he was flying from Colorado out to Los Angeles, and he was kind of getting away from that court case by going out to Los Angeles and playing in those games, or flying to where the team was and playing in those games. And he was playing at a high, high level during all of that. It's a strange situation. It is a defining moment, though, because you look at him and you say, you're in this bizarre... I remember him sitting at the table with the wife, and she won't look him in the eyes, and it was really awkward, and he's apologizing and crying. Horrible moment. But remember how well he was playing during that time? It was absolutely surreal. It was bizarre. And it was absolutely kind of part of who Kobe Bryant is. Yeah, that's kind of the kind of guy he is. He's a lot of contradictions. Number four on our list, the 81 points he scored on Toronto, second highest single game total in NBA history. Lakers beat the Raptors 122-104. But again, it's kind of about contradictions. Took almost 50 shots. And I'm not saying he didn't shoot the ball well. He did. He went 28 for 46. He went 7 of 13 from three-point line, and he went 18 of 20 at the free throw line. But again, contradictions. A lot of people look at that and say, wow, 81 points. And a lot of people look at that and say, who would shoot that many times? Yeah, if Jordan shot 50 times, he would have scored 90 points too. Contradictions with Kobe Bryant. By the way, You might not believe this, but in that 81-point game, he did actually have two assists. I know, I'm just throwing that out there. Number three on our defining Kobe Bryant moments, his record in elimination games. You can't take this part out of it. Kobe Bryant is a phenomenal scorer. Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest players to ever play. But you know his record in elimination games, so it's a game five or a game seven, a game where his team can be eliminated. He was 9-10 in elimination games. And here's the stranger part about it. He averaged 22.5 points a game. Now, you might hear that and say, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Here's just a kind of a look at some how some of the other players considered greats have done in elimination games. In elimination games, LeBron James averages 31.5 points per game. In elimination games, Michael Jordan averaged 31.3 points a game. Wilt, 31.1. Even Allen Iverson averaged 29.8. I don't know what it was. I don't know if Bryant, because I always got the feeling, remember when the Pistons took them out in 2004 and the Lakers had all those big names, but the Pistons had more of a team. And even after the game, you almost got the feeling from Kobe Bryant that he was like, I still don't think you're better than us. But sometimes in elimination games, he didn't play like that. Contradictions. And he still had kind of that pride where he said, no, I'm not going to say you're better than me, but he didn't actually always produce in elimination games. 9-10 as a record. And didn't always put up the big points that he usually did. It's part of his career, part of defining Kobe Bryant. Number two on our list, top five defining Kobe Bryant moments, has to be the championships. He won five of them. He won five championships. That's an amazing run for anyone. But it's also about contradictions. Because he was only the MVP in two of them. Shaquille O'Neal was kind of the big dog on a few of those teams. Now, having said that, on the two that he won, where he was the MVP in 2009 and 2010, when he went back, he absolutely carried those teams. I mean, he had Pau Gasol, and he didn't have a whole lot else. Robert Horry? I don't even know. He carried those teams. Didn't have Shaquille O'Neal, though. Finally got rid of that. And you know what is weird? Getting rid of Shaquille O'Neal, while you would look at it and say, I finally got rid of the guy that's getting all the fame, I'm finally going to get all the fame, it kind of hurt Kobe to get rid of him. Not on the court. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everyone's perception of Kobe. Oh, he didn't want to share the spotlight. It's all about him. He's selfish. Whether that's true or whether that's perceived, that was what a lot of people took from it. He got rid of Shaq, thought it would help him. In a way, all people did was look at him and say, yeah, it's just because he's selfish. Kobe Bryant, guy of contradictions. Our number one moment, defining Kobe Bryant moment. I think this kind of captures it. And I know it's sad to think of our superstars when they get to the end of the road. I never liked seeing Michael Jordan in that Washington Wizards jersey. It bothered me. I don't like right now. There is a part of me that is pained to see Peyton Manning at the level he is playing right now. It's just kind of to see Tiger Woods, to see that kind of thing, to see Kobe Bryant over the last few years where it was just constant injury after injury, and you just saw his body just break down on him, and just over and over again, he couldn't trust his body. It just continued to let him down again and again and again. But number one defining moment, I think it kind of captures who Kobe Bryant was. April 12th, 2013 versus Golden State. Bryant gets fouled on a shot and goes down holding his ankle. We all look at it and we say, well, he got fouled. He twisted his ankle or whatever. He limps back onto the floor. He knocks down the two free throws on one foot. Wasn't a bad ankle. He ruptured his Achilles. Kobe Bryant was tough. Kobe Bryant was clutch. When you needed the big shot, like I said, when he was in his prime, he was as good as anybody with the game on the line. But eventually, Father Time gets all of us. Hey, have to say thank you so much to Larry for stopping by. Always enjoy our conversations. I appreciated you being on the dose today. next week, we're going to know who's going to be in the college football playoff. We're going to know who those teams are, and we're going to know who got dumped out. We know we're going to be talking about that. NFL races are shaping up. The playoffs are coming quickly. Got to talk some NBA. That is getting warmer and warmer. We'll talk about how some of the teams are doing there. And as usual, as you know we do every week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. If you get a chance, head over to iTunes, give us a rating, give us that 5-star rating, just give us a quick review. It doesn't have to be anything big, just something really, really quick. Share it with a friend, share it with a coworker, share the podcast with someone that you know is going to like it, someone that likes sports. Got some good feedback from a number of you, and I appreciate all of you who listen every week. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without you. I appreciate all that you do. Hope that you all have a great week. I will see you all next week, everybody.